We haven't mentioned Jeremy that much lately.
No, Jeremy. Ugh.
Which one, Jeremy?
Stomberg.
Jeremy Stomberg.
Jeremy Stomberg, everybody drink.
Yeah.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guests are Ron and Ricky from the Tortuga Twins. We talk about whether or not we're winning or losing, who we are, and what the fuck that means and how you measure it.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Oh, hello.
And Tim Wick.
Oh, hello.
And we're recording from the luxurious trailer studios at the campground of the Minnesota Renaissance
Festival.
Super
luxurious.
Yay, and it's so humid.
And we have two returning guests today. We have Ron and Ricky from the Tortuga Twins.
Hey. Oh, hello. Oh, hello.
We didn't see you come in. Hello.
I have to point out that it's only my second time here. I'm just a guest, but Ron has been on here multiple times, so he's a guest star.
Oh.
I'm trying to get in on this podcast any way possible. I will take guest star.
He does have a pin that says princess, so we gotta make sure we treat him accordingly.
It's true. I don't think Ron's ego needs any
need, no, but desire, hell yeah.
All the stroking he can get.
Ron, when we were talking about ideas for what to talk about, kind of meta there. You said you want to talk about whether or not we are winning or we are losing, and you wanted to expand on that a little.
Well, here's the thing. It's not arguable at all that the skeptic and atheist movement is bigger now than it was 10 years ago, than it was 20 years ago, and everything like that. Okay? But in 2018, we have a racist that's not even resulting in dog whistles anymore. There's just blatantly using racist information. We have KKK.
Are you speaking of our president?
I'm speaking of the serial sexual abuser president. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
yes.
In the White House.
Just make
Millie Fillmore?
Yeah.
The current serial sexual abuser who's in the White House.
We have Nazis and the Klan marching in the street.
And running for office.
And running for office openly.
Proudly.
We have Black people openly being shot down in the street. How many have been killed just here in Minnesota, in Minneapolis?
By the police or just by anybody?
Yeah.
We
have sorry, that's not funny.
It's not, but there's a large number by the police.
We have outbreaks of measles and whooping cough and other preventable diseases.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Are we winning or are we making the problem worse?
So, with the exception to the prevalence and openness of racists in government or running for government, setting that part aside for just a moment, I feel like the inequity of police violence against POCI is it's more visible.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more autism now, or are we just better at diagnosing autism?
We're diagnosed blue on black crime.
We're
seeing
it because we're aware of it more now. And by we, I mean white people.
Because everyone else was already super aware of it.
Yeah.
I've heard the same thing about child abductions as well. It's the same amount that it's always been, and yet right now we know more about it.
Well, actually, statistically, there is less crime now, less violent crime than ever before. Mm-hmm. We're just more excited about it. It's more Fox News.
There's a 24-hour news cycle, which I think makes a big difference. Even in the last 10 years, that 24-hour news cycle has gotten insane because now everyone has a blog. There's all kinds of like small news outlets. Every paper is constantly having to do something online to keep up. So whereas even in the late 90s with the OJ trial, we technically had a 24-hour news cycle because we had cable news, but it wasn't anything like what we have now.
We had CNN. I mean, really, and now we have CNN
but
and MSNBC.
There's so many, and they all have websites,
Fox,
and the websites have to be updated. I mean, you see an article,
and
it's getting updated every 5 minutes.
And Twitter.
And so I think as a result, it's not the visibility, like you're saying, is so much higher, and we're hungry for it. So it's the people want to hear about those things.
But this is not to throw out the problem with, the police and. And every time a black person gets pulled over, it's a life and death situation. Every single time.
Oh, yes.
Right. Every moment. It's just like, was it Philando Castile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here, a legally owning a gun hands on the wheel. I have a gun.
Doing what he's supposed to do.
Everything he was supposed to do. Shot down because the cop was so nervous.
Shot in his car in front of his baby.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't even out of the car.
And the officer emptied his clip into the guy.
It's not blank, blank, blank.
And he got acquitted.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the meme where it's a guy with two buttons to push that are labeled like conflicting things, and then the second panel is the guy like sweating and like, oh no, what button do I push? It's like a cartoon meme.
Yeah.
So there's I saw a version of that where the first button was, the government shouldn't be able to tell me what to do. And the second button was, if you just do what the government tells you, you won't get shot. And then the guy sweating and panicking about what button to push was labeled libertarians.
Right. Yeah. There's so many people that say, and this with the Philando Castile thing, anytime with the, was it Thurmond? I'm sorry, it's so hot.
Because there was another black man who was shot by the police.
Shot in the back.
Recently.
Yeah.
Shot in the back 8 times.
It's worth noting as we record this that this is the second day after an incredibly brutal first day of a 3-day weekend for us. So we're all a little bit muggy, fuzzy from weather.
There's always people who jump onto those articles about it online and will comment and say, well, if he had just done what the officer said, if he had just complied, if he had just done, and we'll be like, Philando Castile did everything. It's like, yeah, but he did drugs. They smelled marijuana in the car. It's like they smelled marijuana in the car, so they shot him.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
Possession of marijuana in Minnesota is a misdemeanor.
What's interesting to me is it's almost a given that our tribe, you know, skeptics, atheists, blah, 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 really tends to skew very liberal. So these social issues really matter to us.
Yeah.
And let's also take a look at the Me Too movement, and then all this nonsense with Ozzy, and now people are justifying, oh, see, all this Me Too doesn't matter anymore because Ozzy did this, and fucking incels. And you guys know, like I know, you read the same things I read, you study the same things I do, that people read headlines. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we say, hey, this study proves that autism doesn't cause cancer, the takeaway they get from that headline is autism causes cancer. Study after study shows this. I'm wondering if we're making it worse.
I think headlines are a big problem. I think that because headlines are written to be sensationalist and grab your attention with the intent that then you read the article.
Right.
But no one's reading the article anymore. They're seeing the headlines and they're hitting share. And you used to not be able to do that. You had to clip it out. You had to mail it to somebody, which meant then they would then read it and be like, why did you send me this? Right. This is garbage. But
The headlines are the problem. Not reading the article is the problem.
Well, sure.
And there are oftentimes I'm getting into it and I'm like, oh, I want to see what this is about. And usually in normal news article, it's like the first paragraph, boom, everything's there. Okay, if I want to read on that, I can read on. Mm-hmm. But now I'm reading it and it's like, where's the story? Where's the thing? Okay, yeah. I'm bored.
Well, so, and the headlines, I think
it's all clickbait.
I think they are a problem because they're clickbait. And I think that because headlines need to get clicks, they're being written in a way that is deliberately misunderstanding what's going on because they want to get people's attention. And so it'll be things like, because there was that couple. Okay, there was that couple that went to travel and they were biking through the Middle East. And the headline that accompanied it was, couple dies in like ISIS territory trying to prove people are basically good.
Yeah.
That is 100% false of what, like misleading of what the story was. They had planned a bike trip. Yes, they knew they were going to be skirting near ISIS territory. Yes, the guy had posted before on his Facebook page that he thought people were basically good. Nothing about them being linked.
Right.
That wasn't why they were going. Like when they asked if they were like, are you worried about, you know, terrorism? He said, like, I think most of the people in these countries aren't terrorists. So, you know, we're going to be sticking to these safer areas and it'll be fine. They accidentally ended up into ISIS territory and they get killed. And so now it becomes these naive idiots. And it gets shared by conservative pages with the headline, like, dumb liberals trying to prove people are good, get murdered by ISIS, get what was coming to them.
Right.
And it's just so like maddening, you know, like imagine being the people, the family of them.
Well, look at what happened with the Molly Tibbetts case.
Yes.
You know, Molly, are you following this one? So, killed by an illegal immigrant and the right...
Undocumented, maybe. His lawyer is still claiming his status can be proven.
Well, there's some gray area around
that. So, killed by a man for saying no to him.
Right.
That's what we really need to focus on.
So the right takes the fact that he's potentially undocumented, loses their shit.
Yep.
Did you see what her parents said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't besmirch her memory.
Don't besmirch her memory. More importantly, her father said, the Mexicans here are just Iowans with better food.
Yep.
And and don't turn around.
Yep.
Years ago, you asked me a question. One of the questions for five questions was, what is the biggest threat if religion...
It was gone. Yep.
Was gone. And my answer was tribalism.
Yep.
And this is
the
all,
most common answer we got.
Yeah, and this is all tribalism that we're still suffering from. And it's making me crazy.
Yeah.
It's giving voice to people that shouldn't have voice. And maybe we don't need gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do.
So, okay. Let's go back to your question of, are we losing? And let me ask you... A counter question.
He's looking right at us.
I am. Well, mostly...
The guest and the guest star.
Yeah, mostly Ron. The guest.
14th appearance. 14th appearance. Just saying, okay.
All right, anyway. Okay, so you asked us so many questions. Anyway, here's the thing. What's the alternative? Do we shut up?
Okay, here, I got an answer. Here's the good of the Trump presidency.
Ooh. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear. I've been waiting to find out.
If... And okay, in the beginning it was a marathon. Let me just press, I got a preface. The beginning it was a marathon, right now it's a race. But in the beginning, marathon. Okay, the good of the Trump presidency is, if he did not get elected, Hillary got elected, he would have gotten a Fox News channel. He would have been sniping from the darkness like he always did. All this stuff, I don't believe it would have come out.
Not as much.
Nobody would have looked at it, looked for it. Instead, everybody would be focusing on her trying to get her deals through, and Republicans doing what they did, and they feel that worked with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to do all that and shutting it down by any means possible.
Yeah.
Sure, she would have had a Supreme Court pick. You know, that maybe would have gotten through right now,
Probably not.
Because
Gorsuch didn't.
But right now, because of the way all this went down, we are seeing where we are weak. We're saying, what do you mean that's not really a law? The president really doesn't have to do that? Hey, maybe we should fix that at some point. So that's the good of what's happening now. We're finding out what we don't want to have happen, and we're trying to make our corrections. The other good thing is people are more involved politically than they have ever been.
Very true.
At least in our lifetime.
But that's going to last about 6 months past this election.
I don't care. Right? Like I said, before it was a marathon. Right now it's a race.
I don't know about that.
They said the same thing about the people not being involved in the election after the 2016 election, but they still are.
Well, they didn't expect this jackass to get elected, so, you know.
So, I don't know if I would agree that... people aren't going to care as much, and that this isn't a trend that'll stay, because I think, like Ricky's saying, Donald Trump getting elected has exposed a lot of problems and weaknesses with our government and our culture around electing people. And I think that as the younger people are able to vote more and more, and they typically skew more liberal.
And hopefully choose to vote.
They're not skewing more liberal, they're going to skew more anti-gun because they keep getting killed. So.
Right. Did you see what's happened in Florida with the newest,
governor
primary? All these, he was so low in the polls because the people who voted aren't asked by polls.
Right.
Because they are the young kids, because they are people of color. It's like,
and they don't have landlines.
That's
the majority of the way they poll people, is landlines.
I don't trust polls ever again.
Right.
Nate Silver put Donald Trump at 17% chance to win.
Yep.
But there was a chance that he would win. I mean, when you sit there and go, all right, well, he was wrong, except he wasn't, because he said there was still a chance Trump would win. Right?
But what were you saying?
That seems a little special pleading.
I just think that I'm not as worried about people becoming disinterested. And I mean, Minnesota's primary had... So Minnesota has... We vote more than any other state.
motherfuckers.
Turnout... Well,
we're from Florida. We fuck up more than any other state.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Florida man.
We're going blue this year.
In the 2016 presidential election, I think Minnesota had a 70% rate.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This past primary, we set records for Minnesota.
Right.
Which means the state that votes the most voted even more this year.
More votery.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, more involvement, more people. And the fact is, with the only reason Republicans win is voter disenfranchisement, gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering, yeah.
And dirty pool. The only way they win is dirty pool. Period.
Lies in their.
It takes twice the number of Democratic voters to elect Democratic officials on average than it does to elect a conservative, due to the way that there's so many big states that aren't very populous,
right,
and then smaller states that are very dense, like New York, yeah, that sort of thing.
California.
Right.
Which is big, but none.
But, right, yeah. So, the only way we win is with overwhelming numbers, and I think we're seeing some of that.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, before it was Fahrenheit 9-1-1, Michael Moore put out a book called Dude, Where's My Country? Which, charmingly enough, I read in the communist section of Berlin, or formerly communist section of Berlin. And one of the things he said is, the way that we're voting is not our standard belief system. Mm. The country as a whole skews much more left, much more mm-hmm. moderate liberal. The majority want legalized marijuana, mm-hmm. want full gay rights, you know, gay marriage
for-profit
and all that nonsense.
Prisons to be, like, reformed.
That wasn't an issue back then, so I can't speak to that. Right. But the right is just really, really good. We're attacking ourselves more. We took out Al Franken, who was one of the strongest voices, and he wasn't taken out by the right. He was taken out by the left.
Yeah. Because we don't have a choice.
It's not even Al Franken. Like, for real, though. Do you remember when Howard Dean got, like, he was never going to be a viable president because one time he went, yeah!
Yeah.
Right.
Like, for fuck's
sake. I hear that. It did sound pretty weird.
And no one can show any passion.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here and say that Al Franken was undeserving of being called out on what he did. Because that's not even the point. The point is that a conservative politician who got caught doing exactly what Al Franken did.
And more.
Would not have been forced to resign.
No.
Right.
It's just, I mean, that's...
Have you heard the broken vessel theory? That's going on with a lot of the... with Trump, but I mean with the religious right. It's like, well, he's a broken vessel, and God uses broken vessels. Okay, well, according to that rule, so was Obama, so was this
right.
person.
No, he's our broken vessel.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, and for right or for wrong, and I use that ironically, for right or for wrong... Everyone's sticking behind Trump, both because they want to push forth their agenda and it's working, and because Trump is not exclusively, but largely proving that if you don't have my support, you're hosed. Not universally. Thank God Roy Moore didn't get into fucking office.
Yeah, but it is the case that when you look at these primaries on the Republican side, the people that are getting in are the people that are the Trump supporters, because those Trump voters will show up. And that's the thing that liberals have to understand, is those Trump voters will show up.
Right.
Liberal voters, by and large, will show up if they like the candidate.
Yeah.
Well, now I think that we also want the Trump politicians to be elected in as a primary, because that is bringing out the blue. It is bringing out the liberal side.
I really hope you are correct.
That's a dangerous gambit.
Yeah.
I was super optimistic 2 years ago. I'm trying not to be this time.
No, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to say, no, it's good to have this extremist because people will rise up and stop them.
Yeah, that didn't happen in 2016.
Right, but if it doesn't happen, we end up with a dangerous extremist. give me a fucking Goldwater Republican. Jesus Christ. Like, the guy was a dipshit when it came to some things, but... He was fairly reasonable and rational compared to the Republican Party today.
Except my terror is people are like, you know, impeach Trump. Oh, and then, oh, Pence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Except here's the thing. Pence, I think a lot of the Trump...
The reasonable evil.
No. Genuine evil.
Yeah, he's worse.
I think that a lot of Trump's choices are motivated by Pence and his party, his group. So a lot of the really extreme right-wing stuff, a lot of the really extreme conservative stuff.
Christian God whistling that he does.
So if Trump gets impeached... and Pence gets installed, he's still going to do all these really extremely shitty policies without anything to motivate the left to fight
back.
That's
what I mean by reasonable.
But
he's kind of an acceptable, it's like, oh, you're doing things that we really think are heinous and we don't like. However, you're not doing anything that's going to get you jacked out of the office.
Right. So to be horrible devil's advocate here.
Please do.
Because Mike Pence is the literal fucking devil.
What?
Except there's no devil.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Mike Pence doesn't fuck.
However, Church of Satan. You know, just saying. Yeah. No.
So,
if you're a first-time listener, figure it out.
There are other things Trump is doing that are absolutely horrible for the country as a whole.
Like trade wars?
Like trade wars, like ruining the United States reputation with any of
everybody,
our allies,
everybody.
Or even
and
not
Canada.
Allies.
Canada doesn't like
Wait,
us.
How do you
Canada
piss
likes
off
everybody.
Canada.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, if you're looking at things like regulating nuclear arms, legitimizing North Korea, like there are all these...
delegitimizing all of our treaties all over the world.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know? And I mean, sure,
out of them.
Trump, Pence would not be any better than Trump when it comes to domestic human rights. I don't think he would be worse, frankly, because as you're saying, like, he's getting his agenda through Trump right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking, you know, anyone that isn't a straight dude in the military.
Ironically.
Mm-hmm. But I think all that would happen, and I don't think it would be much worse with Pence, because they can only do so much with the presidential power.
In theory.
In theory. Yes, but exactly. I think in all the other ways that Trump is a colossal fuck-up, Pence wouldn't be. I'm not advocating Pence. Jesus Christ, get rid of them all and the Republican Party because they're all fucking corrupt with Russian money.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, so are. Yeah, what's the answer there? If they find out that everything was bad,
what if it is
okay? When they find out and they actually prosecute it, mm-hmm. okay, they're gonna remove Trump. Are they gonna remove his pick as vice president?
I think it depends on what he did.
Does it go to the Speaker of the House?
It's going to depend on if he's complicit.
Well, it might go to the Speaker of the House, but if we are super lucky, and I don't know that we will be, but
please God, let there be a blue wave.
If there's that big of a blue wave, and there is a possibility there will be, then the Speaker of the House would be a Democrat.
Like Bernie?
he's not in the House.
Don't harsh my... Oh, you're right. Fucking Senator Bernie.
Dude,
God damn it.
Dude, learn politics.
I did. I'm sorry. I failed.
We're all learning right now.
Yeah, right.
Okay, back to the central question.
Okay.
Are we losing? And I think here's a couple of things that we have to think about. Because we've talked about a bunch of things, and we've talked mostly politics now. Let's look at a couple of the things that you brought up. You brought up anti-vaxxers, measles breakouts.
Yep.
And you brought up, you brought out people of color being shot by cops. Mm-hmm. You brought out white supremacists crawling out from under the rock that they lived under. So let's talk about a few of those things. And I'm going to quickly cover, like, white supremacists. All right. So,
and if
just,
we have time, alternative medicine.
Oh, good. Okay. So just over a year ago, we had the Charlottesville situation, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then they had the Unite the Right rally a couple of weeks back, right? And there were, what, 5 dozen people at the Unite the Right rally?
They were 30.
They were outnumbered by the counter-protesters. Yeah.
They were scared.
Antifa protesters, and I'm like 300 to 1 almost.
Be scared. And you know why they were scared? Because people spread pictures of the fuckers that were at Charlottesville across the internet, and those assholes got fired.
And had consequences.
There were consequences. Free speech is not consequence-free speech, right?
Okay.
So now you got a bunch of people who are back under their rock. I would argue that might not be better. I want them out in the open. I want to know who these fucks are so we can get them fired, so we can shame them, so we can make sure that they understand that this isn't acceptable. But even so, are we winning or losing when only 30 of them show up at a rally that's supposed to pull them all out?
I appreciate that you want them in the light and feeling emboldened so we can find them and call them out, but like... you're a straight white male who's not Jewish.
That's fair.
And so, like, I feel like it's what you're saying is, I would rather put all these people's lives in danger so that we can, like, find out where these people are. I know that's not how you mean it.
Let's just say, I want to know who they are.
Exactly.
And also, the presence and public nature of those displays is, like, a terroristic act on people of color and Jewish folks.
So it's interesting because the outrage machine cuts both ways. The outrage machine shut down the Unite the Right. Fair. Got people fired. Fair. But the outrage machine also united the fucking right and gave the racists this president.
So what we need, I genuinely believe this is would help quite a bit. And we're getting mouth service on this. We're not getting like legitimate solutions yet, but maybe we're getting there. Facebook and Twitter need a zero tolerance hate speech policy where if you are a fucking open Nazi on Facebook, you get your shit shut down and you don't get to come back. Period.
And saying white people are trash or men are trash is not hate speech. Sorry.
It's not.
If you're in the ruling class on anything, you don't get to be like, but that's racism, because racism is an institutional thing that requires systematic, privilege.
When someone on Twitter is saying, like, the Goyim are aware, like, we are rising, blood and soil, like, that person should get their account shut off.
You know,
what about the person, I read a Twitter thing recently, it was Jewish, I can't remember if it was man or woman, but went into this long thing about how she, in their families they felt somewhat removed from things happening that happened in Germany and all this stuff, because everybody, sure, they had relatives there, but they died. But there was one person who was alive still. And this person would talk with the kids about what happened, frankly and openly. And they brought this person, I guess one of their class teachers found out that they were in Auschwitz, and said, oh, bring them in, we'd like to talk to them. And in the same way, frank and open about what happened. And she watched her classmates become horrified to the truth of what actually happened, and not just the whitewashed version of Auschwitz.
Yeah.
But the person's point was, you cannot talk nicely to the Nazis. You cannot. Nope. Well, maybe they don't understand, or maybe we're gonna work it out peacefully. It always, if you can, it ends with violence. Yeah. Always, you
That's
shut
their
it
language.
Down.
They only now, speak
that,
the language
is
of violence.
Is that hate speech? This person is saying, punch them in the face. I will not take down.
No. You know why? Because Nazi is an ideology, and no one's born a Nazi, and you can stop being a Nazi any fucking time you want. It's just like cops. It makes me so crazy when people are like, cops should be a protected class. Being a cop, you know, you shouldn't be able to say fuck cops because that's hate speech. It's like, no, stop being a cop then if you're so afraid of getting shot. Like, you can stop. There are thousands of other fucking jobs out there if you don't want to be a cop anymore, if you're afraid of getting killed on the line of duty.
When you say I'm a Nazi, or you espouse their ideals openly, you are openly advocating genocide. You have set the topic and you've set the tone. Your goal is openly genocide.
And not just let's be clear, not just for Jews. The reason the Nazis killed more Jews than anybody else is because there were more of them to kill. All right? If you're gay,
Jews
if you
and
are,
gypsies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
it's not gays, Jews, and the mentally disabled.
Yeah. Romani, they were going to kill the Slavs, they just didn't get to it.
Yep.
I mean, the fact is they were going to kill the Catholics.
Yeah, yep. If, they hated Catholics too.
I used to be Catholic.
Yeah. They started the Jews were the most important, and actually they weren't the most important, were their political enemies, and then it was the homosexuals, and then it was the Jews. It's like if somebody says they're a Nazi, they're not just against Jews. They are probably against you.
Right. And so when you punch a Nazi, you're meeting them halfway.
Right.
If they start with genocide and you punch them, that is a compromise.
Right. So I want to point out. I just want to point out something that Ron just said. I used to be Catholic. It's almost like you can give up an ideology, even though you were born into it.
Weird.
Even though you were raised to believe that doing so is awful. Anyone can stop being a Nazi. Anyone can stop being religious. Anyone can stop being an asshole. You can stop being a cop. There's all kinds of shit. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, well, this is my life, and this is what I believe. Your beliefs can change. You're a human fucking being. There's been 4 billion years of evolution. Get on the train. Like, it's ridiculous.
I'm jumping on this. Right. Do you ever read this article? It's about a black guy who, and he's gotten shade from both whites and blacks because he's befriended members of the KKK.
Yeah.
I saw that, yep.
And then for those of you who haven't, go look it up. I can't remember his name, but the way he did it, he didn't come out and say, hey, what you're doing is bad. He just became their friend. He just hung out with them. Mm-hmm. And he now has multiple of their hoods and sheets in his garage because these guys, after getting to know him, have said, you're right, this is wrong, I can't do this anymore.
Yep. That's how we turned the vote for same-sex marriage, was gay couples, but also actual gay couples
moving
going door to door with their kids and being like, hi, we just want to talk to you about why we think we should be allowed to be married. These are our kids. Like, we both have... We're human beings who just want to love each other. And that went a long way. People were like, oh, you're not sex deviants. You're just, like, two middle-class women who have, short haircuts.
The gay agenda is pick up my laundry, go grocery shopping, and get the kid from daycare.
Yeah.
Same as everyone else's.
I just to get to Ricky's article, I mean, I think the big thing there is what this guy does, I absolutely applaud, and that is part of the solution. But unfortunately, also what it does, and by people sharing this, and a lot of people who share it are conservatives going, see, you don't have to do the Antifa thing, you don't have to punch Nazis, you can be nice. Mm-hmm. It puts the burden on black people to solve racism. And that is what we do over
and over. Because I can't go tell them how black people are cool and they should just shut the fuck up about it.
No, I'm sorry. I've seen all the movies. Every Hidden Numbers, everything. It's always the white guy that cures racism. listen, hang on. Let me get in this one. I have, prior to the past couple of years, I have believed that it is my right as a constitutionalist, as a leftist, left-wing guy, leftist, to allow the Klan to march through my hometown.
Yeah.
I have always believed that.
Yeah, fuck them. They can march.
Until this year. And then I've read a couple of articles like, it's time to stop that shit.
Yeah.
It's time to
I agree.
Draw a line, plant your feet, and say, this is too far.
I do not agree with what you say, but I will defend your right to say it to the death unless you're trying to advocate for the genocide of somebody.
Yeah.
Germany has pretty good free speech laws. You can't show a swastika in Germany.
Right.
I think that's not a bad idea.
So, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I love the fact that everyone in this room is raising their hands for radio.
Oh, it's radio. Yeah. I know.
Oh, is that what that
means?
No, now I'm lost. I remember one time finding in a parking lot a card that says, you've been accosted by the KKK, blah, 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 free speech. I'm like, maybe I'll put this in my wallet just to remind myself that everybody has free speech. I stopped in the midst going, I have black friends who are going to, rightfully so, beat the fuck out of me before I had a chance to go, but wait, free speech. Ow, ow.
Yeah, you're saying they have the right to say that your friends should be murdered and hung from trees.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a fucked up thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a fucked up thing, man. Now,
as far as, well, we're saying that it's the you know, we're putting it on black people to change racism. People as a whole don't tend to change until they're really, really uncomfortable. So white people are not uncomfortable. Now, yes, it should be white people that change your racism, and a lot of them are involved with that. But the way sometimes the real world works is people aren't going to change until they're made to feel uncomfortable. And sometimes it takes people who are being accosted to go, hey, this is not right. Please stop doing that. Okay, I'm going to start the change because you guys aren't doing it. You're not policing yourself.
The consequence for me telling someone in the KKK to go fuck themselves are very low. The consequence for a black person politely approaching them and asking them to be nice or humanizing themselves and the people their people they represent, which is kind of bullshit, the consequences are very high.
The reason the Me Too movement has actually made some changes and had some things happen is because the men who are in power for such things had all the women in their lives saying, oh yeah, that shit happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Oh shit, yeah, no, yeah, I've been kissed against my will at work. Or, yeah, no, I've had someone, you know, comment on my body or say shit like this to me. It happens. Oh, did you guys not know? This literally happens to all of us starting at around age 10.
Right.
And when people when men realize that, that is when it was like, oh, fuck, that makes me feel gross. Mm-hmm. I would never do that, but that makes me feel gross. And, like, we got to do something about this. Why didn't you guys say something? And we're all like, we didn't think anyone gave a shit because we've been saying stuff. And everyone's like, you're fine. You seem fine, though.
It wasn't until everybody said it at once.
I had friends on my Facebook page who, when I was like listing, I'm like, here's all the things that happened. The first thing that happened to me was when I was 10 years old and I was out running along the road and a truck pulled up and a guy yelled out the window and said, hey, those legs go all the way up? And I got super confused because I'm a very literal child and was like, yes, like I didn't, like, where else would they go? And the guy drove off, and I told my mom and she was horrified, and I was like, did he think I had safety pins? What did he think I had under my shorts? And she's like having to explain to me at 10 that he was talking about my vagina, and I was just like, like, it's just, but like, that's shit 10 years old.
And teach
your kids to say you're their age.
Because
that is a response, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Do those legs all like, I'm 10.
Yep.
Like, oh.
Yep.
Should be in jail.
But anyway, you're right. That's the thing, is the people in power have to get uncomfortable enough to actually want to make a difference.
So, and that is what's happening right now. Yeah. So are we winning? Yes. This is kind of a...
I don't know if it's about winning and losing anymore. I think it's about, are we going to manage to survive?
These are birth pains. That's why it's a race right now. These are birth pains that we're going through. We are going through a major change in this country, in our consciousness, which has happened before, a time and time again.
Go see Hamilton.
I get that. I did.
That's
it was
what I'm
awesome.
Saying. Like, yes, everyone.
Yeah, but... But I think we need to go through this in order for... Oh.
I feel that we're Canute ordering back the sea. And I think that there's so much infighting on the left.
Yeah.
And I hate to sound like this.
Is that
this
a football guy? Newt Rockne?
Yeah, Canute.
Okay.
And with some of the identity politics and everything, I think it's kind of distancing and it's causing some backlash. I worry. Mm.
Because I think the right is... have their own identity.
The right... call yourself what you want. Use whatever fucking bathroom you want.
Yep.
That's fine. I have no problem with that. But the right... For all the wrong that they do, at least they're getting behind one guy, and that fucking
they do party every first. Time.
Looking forward to him party going first. To jail then.
Yeah, me too.
They've been party first for a long time.
Yeah. Well, when their party starts to go to prison one by one and the bodies hit the floor, it'll be exciting.
Is far more principled first, and I respect that. And every now and again, we got to be like, motherfuckers.
I want to fight dirty.
We have to fight dirty. Yeah. But we got to fight dirty and ethically.
We got to get to five questions.
Fuck you. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So, Ron, nobody cares.
Yeah.
I have five questions.
Last time you were on, you answered our five questions, so you brought five questions for us.
I did, and I ran these by Tony Miller, and he said they were excellent.
So he's an expert on questions.
My first question, and this, none of this has anything to do with what we were talking about. So
that's
fine. Need to. Excellent.
Which Dungeons & Dragons character would you be in real life?
Ooh, like class,
you mean
race?
Like class?
Sure, yeah, all right. That stuff.
Or a specific character that you
have. No. Well, you could. That can be that as well. So yeah, but tell me class and race and what it involved.
I would be a ranger. That's one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I've played a lot of different RPGs. I get them all mixed up in my head. Which ones are from which? Like Pathfinder versus Star Wars RPG.
Would your race be human?
I would be a ranger.
Elven?
I would be half elven. And I would be a ranger because I really like being outdoors. I really enjoy, like, I enjoy just, like, walking long distances. I like being observant. I have always been interested in range weaponry because I'm not good at close combat. So if I was going to fight, I would need to fight from a distance. So I think that would all be...
Half-elves fit everywhere and fit nowhere. And
yeah,
I think that,
yep, that's, that fit, that's how I feel. Too. Tennis half-elven over here.
I think I think dwarf sometimes, but I think like my height and stature is a part of my identity very much. So I think like maybe half orc. But then like, I don't know, I'm not dumb and I can be charismatic when I'm not being stubborn
can be
dick
smart.
Face. I know, but they trend toward not being so.
Your human side was a genius and then your orc side was also pretty good for an orc.
So I think half orc and you know how there's people joke about social justice warrior, social justice rogue, social justice sorcerer.
That's clever.
How you do social justice. I have come to terms with the fact that I am very much a social justice barbarian. There's not a lot of tact in what I do when I jump in and be like, "Oh, you're a Nazi. Yes, go fuck yourself, sir." Like there's not
sir.
So I think like a half orc barbarian fits pretty well for me.
I like that.
Maybe some sort of cleric instead, ironically, but yes.
Oh yeah, what guy?
One of those clerics that is not direct. Well, it's different because they're real gods, right? So in D&D they are. So I'm not sure. Definitely not like Paylor or anything super zealoty. But maybe one of those.
Norse
clerics that has the two spheres that they worship that are not necessarily gods, but representative ideas.
Like the kami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, okay. I have a lot of trouble with this one. Definitely not a fighter.
Because you're a human bard, or what?
I can't fight for shit.
You are a human bard.
I am kind of a... Yeah, I guess.
You inspire people with your music,
no,
too.
No, but I do a bard.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
The bard is a good answer, but I think bards are kind of dumb. So, I actually my secret inner D&D character would be a druid. I mean, I'm not true neutral, but I love the outdoors. I fucking hate camping, so that's where I don't know. But if I was druid, then I'd be able to make a magically dope.
Druids don't need to live outdoors. You're not a ranger. Hey. You're not like going out for days at a time.
Bards get a little bit of magic, and bards' magic tends to.
Bards
start
are awesome. So maybe I could be a druid bard. Like a multi-class.
Yeah.
And I would be a human. I
could see you being
I
think you'd have to be a multi-class, Tim. You don't allow yourself to have any time to just devote to one thing. You're definitely a multi-class.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. All right. Sure. So druid bard. That's what I'm going with.
I had an ultra powerful fighter magic user tank, and on the one hand, that would be kind of cool to have all that power, and it's just not me. It's not. I'm not. I mean, that's not how I work. That's not how I attack. That's nothing. I had a guy, a DM one time, that allowed me to play a bardic character, but the character was a mime, and it was essentially Arsene.
Yeah.
And he had the best kill ratio of anybody in the party, but it was with pies from his jacket and his magic cane. And it's like. That fits me to a T.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, failing that
absurdity and ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Failing that, it'd be an illusionist thief, something like that. But you know, but yeah, I think
human.
Yeah, probably or half elf because you know, pointy ears turn.
Yeah. What about you, Ricky?
Originally, because I played one for so long, I really think that they're majestic and everything. It was the Paladin. I really enjoyed playing that and everything.
You're not that goody-goody.
But recently, I've been playing in a game with members of Barely Balanced, which is another troupe out there, and other performers, where they created a whole new game. It's like, okay, figure out what your personal stats are. And then they said, okay, you've come to this game, and this realm opens up, and we go through the door, and then we make some certain choices, we face a couple of certain things, and by those choices that we've made, our characters were, you know, our classes were chosen for us. I became a first in magic user, but then a sorcerer because you know, I'm lazy, and sorcerer makes it just comes to you. And later on, I took on the thing of being a monk, because sorcerer monk works really well. And they made me, because of my other choices, and I don't think this is connected, I became a turtle.
Oh, yeah.
But I look mostly like myself, but with the shell and everything like that, and I'm like...
Maybe a little beaky.
Like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Or Tortuga, yes. So, that was a lot of fun, and I like the magic, because magic, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's great.
Word.
Question two.
Oh God, that was only the first question.
Yeah.
We can zip through these if you like.
We will.
No, we don't.
Here's a quick one. Particle or wave? Light is both, whether you look at it, whether you don't. But for you, what do you think you are? Particle or wave? More one or the other?
Well, there it's easier.
Philosophically.
There, I guess it's easier because musician, I pretty much have to be a wave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really think that for me, you know, life is a series of cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that is, you know, the way I travel through time. There are all these stops in my life, and I keep adding more because I'm a fucking idiot. But all of these stops are very much consistent, and my year has its ebbs and its flows, and that's a wave. I'm it's not a particle.
Particle me.
What?
Particle.
Particle man.
I'm self-contained. I am me, and I'm not always good about thinking about the consequences or the ripple from my actions, necessarily. Not always in, like, a catastrophic sense, but to give an example, years ago, street performing, I was running toward...
A woman.
A woman.
A big stick in your hand.
I had a stick in my hand, raised up, and I was running toward a patron, and she kind of, like...
Running up to her.
She kind of, like cringed back.
Because you were like, hey, lady, look at this stick I found, as you ran toward her.
And Molly's like, you're a lot of person to be running at someone brandishing a stick. You should consider that sometimes. I was like, oh, I didn't even, like, it hadn't even occurred to me at all.
A large wall moving toward me, yelling something, I think, and brandishing
a
stick.
I'm not an oblivious person. I'm fairly self-aware, but I'm self-aware. I'm not, like, externally self-aware,
and
necessarily.
Pretty much overthink the impact of everything I do and say to everybody around me. So, yeah.
I think I'm also a particle mostly because I'm very well-defined in the sense that, like, I know everything. I'm at the point, I mean, I'm 40. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I'm not like, averse to change and growth. But at the same time, like, at any given moment in time, if you put a pin in it, I'm very quick at making decisions. I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what I don't want. So even though that may change.
Unless, like, it's where to go for dinner.
I always know what I want. I just want to make sure you're happy. That's such a trope.
Can you tell which of the broadcasters are married?
That's what I would say.
It's me and Ron.
It could be, pal.
Also,
we can't get a cake.
Bigamy is still illegal. Oh.
No, it's a joke that I'm making. We're good. Go
it's
ahead,
a dumb
Ron.
Absolutely particle. Because I'm not part of a movement, though I can work in movements. I'm not part of an overall influencing thing, though I can influence people. Like you guys, I'm independent. I'm self-contained. I'm one kind of destructive force moving forward. Simple as that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more wave. I like to see the big picture and how it affects things. I like to be able to do that far-reaching seeing everything at
once. High five to the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last time you were here, like what we talked about, I would say that fits with what, like your philosophy of things. From what I remember you talking about.
Do the wave.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah. But I'd like to be a little more particle, be more grounded. Because that, you know, sometimes you need to walk in the real world to affect the real world.
I am very grounded. I am almost grounded to a fault. Like that's, I'm unable to, I don't really untether much.
Not my problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, next one. If you had to choose one of the armed forces to join, which would you join?
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
Here, I'll go first while you guys think, because it's so easy for me. One does not become on submarines by accident. I absolutely chose to be in the Navy. I absolutely chose to be on submarines. I absolutely chose to launch nuclear missiles. I would do it again. I contemplated for about a second and a half trying out for the SEALs just to see if I could actually challenge myself. And it, as it turns out, a lot of the SEALs are not the big beefy monsters that you think they are. Like, they're
they
tiny little
be. They
wiry.
They gotta be in submarines.
Right, they're tiny little wiry guys like me. But quite honestly, I don't know that I, especially at 20, that if I had the toughness to do it. So, submarines, nuclear missiles, blam, 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 everybody dies.
Air Force, probably. Well, wait, the Navy maintains aircraft carriers, or is that Air Force?
Navy.
It is there Navy. Are flyers in every
I know.
Branch of the
right, it's not about services. Flying. I'll never fly. I don't have 20/20 vision. That's not a thing. Also, I'm a giant, so I'm not going to fit
this is,
in
this
vehicles.
Is a dream reality.
I think I'd pick Air Force, and the reason I pick Air Force is because in my history working in the telecommunications industry, I've worked with a lot of people from the Air Force. There's a significant amount of overlap. I don't know why. I don't know what the skill
there's
sets are.
There's a lot of tech stuff and security
but
clearances.
I feel like with my background and my where my skills are, if I went in the Air Force, they'd be like, oh, sweet, IT guy. Yep, go do that. and then I'd be able to do what I do well and do what I'm good at. You know, in that environment.
I don't know what branch would involve, like, language and code, and so would that just be the Army? I'm not sure, like, because what I think what I'd want to do is probably be officer training and try to have, like, more high-level language and maybe even, like, spy stuff, as in a way, like, but I also, like, I wouldn't mind being on a submarine. I don't get claustrophobic. Yeah. I like being underwater. I fit in small spaces. I wouldn't regret not being able to go running and stuff, so.
You can run.
I don't know. You can run on a submarine?
They have both treadmills and.
It's not.
And you can, depending upon the boat, you can run around the missile.
Yeah, honestly, I guess for a big thing for me would depend if we're at war. Like, if we're at war, I'm probably not going to join the Army. Or, but, like, just in general. Yeah, but
be
like,
infantry!
Yeah, right? But, like, I guess maybe Marines. Ooh. And try, because I like pushing myself. I like the physical challenge of it all. I am an endurance athlete. I appreciate high-pressure situations, and being under a lot of stress works out for me pretty well, so probably.
I don't want to objectify, but that Marine outfit is pretty sexy on every day. And there is not a human being who does not look sexy in a Marine uniform.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
the,
fair.
The Navy uniform is kind of a joke.
No, there's nothing sexy about those bell-bottoms.
They dress little kids up in sailor uniforms, man. That's all I'm saying.
Air Force uniform's fairly casual.
All right, I have what I believe
Sam,
to be
what would you do?
The definitive answer. And it hasn't been brought up yet, but Coast Guard gets to hunt pirates.
Yeah.
We're talking about real armed forces.
Yeah. You're not 6 feet tall. You have to be 6 feet tall.
The Coast Guard is military. They're part of the Homeland Defense, but they are military.
They are military. Yeah. Coast Guard is military. It is a branch of the military.
You have to be 6 feet tall to be in the Coast Guard.
That's a running joke because the boat sinks, you can walk to shore.
That's great.
I would Coast Guard hunt pirates, stop poachers. It'd be great.
All right.
That's like, you'd be doing real work.
Yeah. Well, if this was
instead of maybe launching a nuclear missile, who wants to actually have to
practice,
do this?
A lot of practice. Like,
do you want to actually be able to do that job? No, you never want to do your job.
The job was to not launch the missiles.
Yeah,
if we launched,
job,
if we launched, we failed.
As opposed to the Coast Guard, where your job is to fucking stop poachers.
Yeah,
you do your job. Coast
I
Guard.
Did. Did we go to nuclear war in the '80s? Then I fucking deterred it like a motherfucker.
Thank you. If this is like an ideal and like you said, a fantasy thing, I would probably do Space Force.
Shit, you came
question
up with
question four. God damn it.
That was the definitive answer.
But that being said, I have to say I am a member of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. And I would join the Coast Guard.
Yeah, waves again. All right.
What the shit? What's, you're not allowed to come to my interviews anymore, pal.
All right, question four.
Okay, if you in this incarnation as a festival participant, blah, 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 died and had to come back reincarnated as another festival what act would you be? What thing would you be?
Oh my God.
Out here, if you could reinvent yourself. And it can be, hey, I'd be this act. I'd be this group. Or
am I the
else.
Same age, or am I?
It's you doing it. Or you're starting all over again at a younger age. It's not like, do you start from this point and reinvent yourself? It's like, no, if you could go back and do it in the beginning, I wish I grew up to be this. I mean, or.
Okay, I would do exactly what I'm doing right now, but we are in a fantasy realm where I have to choose something else.
Yes.
If I had to choose anything else, and I actually started doing this, I would probably be a juggler. I mean, watching a really good juggler do really good juggler shit impresses the shit out of me, and it is the kind of to me a great juggler is 40% juggling and 60% knowing how to work your audience. And I'm pretty good at working my audience.
Anybody specific that's out there that, I wish I was that?
No, I'm not gonna point at anybody specific, because I would be my own I would be my own thing. So
I can't juggle for shit. And I like to joke like I'm one of three people at the Renaissance Festival.
But kind of Arsene, juggle. I'm sorry. Anyway.
It's like, yeah, I can't juggle for shit. But I love the idea of throwing knives and stuff. and playing with blowguns and throwing fire around and shit like that. Like, as long as the Danger Committee didn't need a guy to juggle, and what would be the point of that? I would love to just,
it's
like...
It's a new incarnation. You can juggle. That's the whole point.
If it's a new incarnation, then
you can do whatever you want.
I wouldn't want to be in the Danger Committee. I'd want to do my own thing. But yeah, you know, Danger Committee.
In the style of
Danger Committee.
We're all dealing with some egos here, so it's hard to break through that.
I just don't want to. I don't know.
I have no ego. I'd want to be in the Dregs, and I'm not trying to suck up. No, for real. I'd want to be in a band that does comedy music, Irish music. I'd want to sing and play guitar. I would love to be in a band that does, like, joking around style, like you guys do with the audience, fourth wall breaking and, like, sarcastic jokes and all of that. That would fit me perfectly. If I could play guitar better, because I can sing, that would be my different path, was learning to play guitar younger instead of piano, and being able to do that. That would be great.
I have a super secret boy crush on a band out of Kansas City called the Jolly Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to warm up by singing Jolly Rogers songs, and I used to think, God, I want to sing with these guys one day, before I started shouting for a living. So that would be my plan B. I think they're amazing, but not enough. I wouldn't get to be enough of a star.
Mm.
And I'm sorry, I'm an egotistical maniac. I actually yelled at the people backstage, I'm a comic fucking genius yesterday, and I'm gonna have to apologize to everybody.
You are.
Today. I am a comic fucking genius.
No, thank you. I apologize. No.
Yeah, I did.
No.
But it's true. I am, and I did. But Arsene. Arsene's style is brilliant, and I like
so
that.
Good.
You know, he's a mime, and he's got such a cool backstory and talent, and he can juggle like nobody's business, but it's a complete throwaway for him. He just manipulates people, and he's my hero. I actually played him once.
One of the things, in keeping with that, one of the things that we did when we were first doing Tortuga Twins years and years, like over 20 years ago, when he first came here and started seeing Arsene, it's like, wow, I want us to be able to do, which is a weird concept, I want us to be able to do what he does quietly, but with words. so that kind of audience manipulation and whatever.
What would you choose?
For me, I have two answers, because I listen to you guys, I'm like, oh yeah, people. I love The Swordsman. It's one of my favorite shows. I love sword fighting. I love how they are with their technique and their comedy and everything like
they're
that.
They're like Puget Snot, only good.
Oh.
Yeah.
With characters, and they actually change stuff occasionally.
And their sword fighting is just
That must
brilliant.
Be weird for you.
Amazing. but the other thing is, recently I've become a crafter of sorts. I'm selling... I just opened a wand card at the Ohio Renaissance Festival, even though I'm not there. But in order to get in that festival, I had to go to Celtic Festival, Ohio, which is a one weekend thing, and I'm there not as a Tortuga. Nobody knows who the hell I am. I'm setting up my little cart, you know, and also other crafters are like, hey, how you doing? Do you need anything? And it's like there was this camaraderie, much like what we share, but nothing I've ever experienced there. And it was interesting to be able to work in a different way. And at the end of the day, all the money came in was mine, and it was like, wow. So I don't have to sweat
you don't like
on
sharing
stage.
With me?
I don't. Mm-hmm.
You're not getting tips. You're getting money for your craft.
Let's be fair. This is a lovely little hobby that I have put money into, and I hope to make money back. It looks like I will in a year or so. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Right now, it's all money.
In a year or so, but that's really not bad.
But you know what? That's how it was when we started doing entertainment. We didn't start making money actually for a year. We didn't get tips for shit.
We loved it.
I need to change my answer ever so slightly because as I'm thinking about this, I'm realizing that.
I've got to change too.
Even in what I do, even in what I do with the dregs, ultimately what I'm doing is sort of a storytelling act. It's through music. So honestly, if it was, you know, pick another person out of the festival who does what I do, it would be Zilch the Tourist.
If Molly was dead or in this new incarnation I was single, I would kill Tony Miller and steal his identity.
Yeah, all right, that's fair.
Isn't that how the mantle of the insulter is passed on?
Is it? Is it like Highlanders?
It's like, yeah. Nice. It's like death.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What's question five?
Question five. Knowing what you know right now, and you had to drink the Kool-Aid and fully believe in whatever religion it is, but you get to pick what it is.
Oh, God, this question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've had it before?
Oh, we love it.
It's all right. It's all right. I come up with a different answer every time.
All right, anyway. So yeah, if you had to, and knowing what you know about each of them, I'm sure that you guys have studied enough about each of them. It's like, well, this one is, you know, not so painful or whatever.
Maybe a Wiccan. That's where I'd go back to. That was the closest I ever came to believing in anything.
Okay.
Was Wicca, just because it was, you know, nature based and the idea of there being lots of little gods and almost like a Shinto kind of style of
animism.
You know, there's an animism. Like there's just that there's like spirit in everything and there's a god everywhere, and that also the concept of spells and them and actually believing in them and thinking they're working sounds pretty great, because that for me was always the missing thing. Was I was doing all the stuff and I was saying all the words and I was reading all the books and trying to believe, but I just didn't believe because there weren't any results. And so if I was drinking the Kool-Aid and wasn't a results-based person and didn't need evidence, and I could just feel it and just feel the truth like the fucking believers do, then that's the one I would want to be feeling the truth of.
My typical answer to something like this would be Zen Buddhism, but for today I'm going to say I would become a Muslim because it'd be kind of nice. Maybe it would be nice.
Shiite or Sunni?
I don't know. I am not informed enough to make an educated answer to that. It would be nice, maybe. Maybe it would be nice to not have to think about, like, the rote and ritual, and to just be like, I know I do this 5 times a day. I know I'm allowed to wear this. I know I'm allowed to do that. Just turn off those parts of my brain and let that happen might be kind of a relaxation, almost like a vacation.
I have to say, after having friends who are Muslim and working with Muslims, you are well uninformed.
Well uninformed.
There are many, many different ways of worshiping. I remember working for Islamic Relief USA, which works much like the Catholic Relief. Disasters in areas like that, the Red Cross goes in, they assess what's needed, and then they call Islamic Relief and they bring them in to help do everything like that. But I worked in their media, with their media people, and I walked in, like, there's women with hijabs, there's women without hijabs, with tight clothes and long hair, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? And because we're all friends that are like, well, do you know how you worship in different ways? So do we.
Well, I mean, some of it's a little bit of a trollish nature, too. I love the idea of a, like, giant white dude being like, oh, yes, I'm Muslim, and having people go, what? Like, I would enjoy that.
But with your headgear and beard right now, it's not that hard of a sell.
No, it's not. It's not.
The guy that introduced me to this group and got me through a podcast, involved with their podcast, is a white guy from D.C.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I can't, I think it's me. If I can't choose Church of Satan, or any of the variants, I'm gonna go with Jedi.
Oh, come on, man!
Oh, come on, that's not the game.
No, no. It is a legal religion now.
Yeah,
honestly, something silly and all internal, without any spiritualism, like sort of a Zen Buddhist thing,
yeah,
something
sure.
like that. Yeah, you know, something.
That's my real answer. Yeah. I mean,
It's not exactly the same as Wiccan. I guess, you know, I kind of intimated this earlier. Druid. I'm down for worshiping trees. That's
all
right.
It's like Shinto, almost specifically, like more like on the Japanese side.
It's like Shinto, only not quite as cultural as much cultural appropriation.
What if they said it was okay for you to be a Shinto and it wasn't cultural appropriation?
Then and Shinto was like a more active.
And they were like, yeah, and they were like, that's cool. We allow you.
Well,
you
can be a part Shinto of it. Doesn't sound bad, but one thing that I've noticed about a lot of Eastern religions is there's a lot of like sitting still. Mm-hmm. And I'm not good at that.
Hmm.
So I need something more active. And I feel like Druidism would allow me to be more active.
Let me add two things real quickly. I've always been of the belief that no matter what you say, if you were raised here in the West, you can never really truly embrace mm-hmm. Eastern religions because we're too individualistic. Mm-hmm. We think about this in the wrong way. And did I tell you this story yet that Scarlett tells me she's an atheist?
Mm. Hey.
Let me tell you why. I went to church with Nanny, Daddy, and there's all that standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down and kneeling, and that's just too much work, so I'm going to be an atheist instead. Yeah,
that's as good a reason
like,
as any.
I'm like, oh, baby, no. Do some more research, but I like where you're going with
yeah,
it now.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
Church being boring is like the number one reason most people become atheists.
Or at least start, yeah.
Yeah, as far as the not moving enough, don't forget that most of the samurai were Buddhists. So, sure, you're talking about becoming a monk. I didn't say you have to become that, you know.
I'm just saying Druidism feels like it's more up my alley than Shintoism. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
The reason I would not pick Buddhism is because it's too much denial of self. Mm-hmm. I would pick something that's more of a philosophy, which is Taoism, the acceptance mm-hmm. of all things, having some of the more Eastern flavor to it, but it's more, and I like them the way they say that his Taoism may not be my Taoism, it's my personal experience. Mm-hmm.
I think it's pronounced Taoism.
England, yes, it is.
True balance includes excess and denial.
I did. I thought about Taoism, so high five to the wave.
Motherfucker! I think you guys have to sit together next time.
All right. So real quick before we say goodbye, we have a new.
Yeah, we have a new patron. Ian Gustino is a new patron, so thank you very much, Ian, and for supporting us on
He'll
Patreon.
He'll get to hear this episode like potentially weeks early.
Yeah.
Ooh, hi, Ian.
And hi, Ian.
You could too if you throw us a few bucks a month. You'll be set. So you two are here in Minnesota until the end of the season. It ends at the end of September.
Which will probably be like a week after the season.
Yeah. We're actually
here only 6 of the 7 weekends. We're bringing the B team for the final weekend.
So they're gone, snap.
Where do you go next?
North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Kakalaki.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be here for this year. And then if you want to send in... So now we're doing this new thing. Our new 5 questions thing is you send in your 5 questions and we'll answer them. If we have a guest, we'll get them in on it too. Send those questions to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We are on iTunes, we're on Google Play, mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter. Follow us. Check us out there. Give us a rating wherever you get our podcast. That always helps us out.
It's been a while
out.
Since we've gotten new ratings. So help us out.
I rated you guys.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago. What have you done for us lately?
I just want to point out that
in this trailer.
In case you can hear it, I've been sneezing because of my allergies, and not one goddamn person of you has said bless you.
Oh, yeah, it's because I don't care. It's because I don't care if your soul goes to hell. There's no souls.
What?
There's no hell.
We've been Geeks Without God, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. That's all, folks.
'Geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter @geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
They're really easy hikes. Get your daughter out of the car.
Shut up.